Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more, on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone, and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this evening's show, we're going to be bashful, we'll listen to the band, and hear some songs for Halloween. Last week, I played the 1923 Bashful Baby by Arthur Sizemore and Guy Shrigley, performed by the sisters Dennis, and promised to play the 1928 Bashful Baby by Cliff Friend and Abner Silver. I love Ben Pollock's version, but here's Phil Neely with Abe Lyman's orchestra and their fine rendition, which is also a Triple R debut.
Thank you. Move up closer and shut your eyes. Get all set for a big surprise. Loving is free, so why should you be bashful? So bashful. Goodness gracious, I'm sweet 16. I don't really know what you mean. Ain't it a crime? I'm willing, but I'm bashful. What's the use of a great big moon if you're always afraid to spoon? You'll be pushing up daisies soon. So if you can be good, then just be careful. Don't behave like a little mouse. Move up closer and let's play house. Loving is free, so why should you be bashful?
Hunk of pumpkin pie, that's why you're shy. So shy when you're eating watermelon on the sly. Always taking brother's piece of chicken fry, that's why you're shy. You ain't gonna grow up into nothing, making eyes all over the place. Anybody who amounts to something always looks the world in the face. So shy, say you're sorry, cross your heart and hope to die. And I'll never, never tell your daddy why you're shy, so shy.
Well, there are just so many vintage songs with bashful in the title, so we finished up that bashful set with Eddie Stone, with Isham Jones and his orchestra, and So Shy, recorded by Victor on December 15, 1933. Walter G. Samuels wrote the tune and Alan Barrett's the words. Samuels also composed Hot Dogs and Sarsaparilla, and Barrett's also penned Whistling in the Dark. Before that was Adrian Schubert as the Hollywood Dance Orchestra, with Irving Kaufman and Bashful, from September 3, 1929. We started off that bashful set with Abe Lyman's California Ambassador Hotel Orchestra with Phil Neely vocalizing on Bashful Baby from June 28, 1929. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. Last week I played I'm Going to Give It to Mary with Love by Cliff Edwards, a song which that bastion of culture, taste, and decency, the BBC, deemed unsuitable for broadcast at the time. Though they supposedly no longer ban any records, for the next two segments of this show, we're going to listen to the band. That's B-A-N-N-E-D. Here's Norman Long.
This is just a little skit on the very strict censorship with which radio entertainers have to contend. Now, the BBC once wrote to me and said, "Dear Norman Long, we thought you'd like to face the mic with your piano, smile and song. So will you bring your repertoire along for us to see, to go over it with a pencil of the blue variety?" So I looked my list of songs up, to the studio I flew. I said, "Here's a nice song called Violets." They said, "Oh, that's much too blue." I said, "Is Robin Adair all right?" They said, "Robin Adair, my head. Just think of the bald-headed men you'll upset. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up, determined to show my skill. I started warbling merrily that well-known song until I sang "No Rose in All the World." "No Rose," they cried, "my hat. Why, you'll upset all the fishmongers. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up, because I was beginning to tire. I said, "Well, here's a good one, a song called Strike the Lyre." They said, "Strike the Lyre? What on earth do you think you're at? With thousands of barristers listening in, we can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up, found one of modern times. There was a young fellow of somewhere. They shouted, "Stop, that's rhymes. If you went and put over that one, why, you'd have us all on the mat. The old lady of Kent might be listening in. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up to please the listening throng. I said, "Now here's a good one, the Vulgar Boatman's song." But they hated vulgar boatmen and discouraged vulgar chat. And songs about rude sailors are barred. We can't let you broadcast that. So I looked my list of songs up and found an army one. "There's Something About a Soldier," but they said that can't be done. "There's Something About a Soldier" would get over nice and pat. "To a sergeant's wife with 14 kids, we can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up, the position was getting grave. I said, "Now here's a nautical song, a Life on the Ocean Wave." They said, "Life on the Ocean Wave with all these cruises on the mat? Why, you're advertising the steamship lines. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up. I was getting fed up to the roots. "Now here's a good song by Kipling, a military song called Boots." He said, "My dear good fellow, do you realize what you're at? You're advertising a chemistry firm. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up and I said, "Now here's a gem. No one can be offended if I sing Jerusalem." But they all collapsed. "Jerusalem? Be careful what you're at. Why, Hitler might be listening in. We can't let you broadcast that." So I looked my list of songs up and produced a drinking song. But they said, "This is published by Boozy." Dear, 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 that's all wrong. "The song's marked Sing with Spirit, too. Why, it's like a brewery vet. It's two in a bar. That's barred as well. We can't let you broadcast that." So I packed my list of songs up and said, "Hang it, I won't sing. Would you like some Adagio Dancing or A Spot of Conjuring? Trick Cycling, Walk the Tightrope. I'm a darn good acrobat." And I'd love to tell you what they said, but I can't even record that.
Thank you. don't care, the day is set fair, a while is set near to bring us good cheer. In winter time or summer time, for leisure time and pleasure time, the daily times at Big Ben chimes are radio times. For Christmas time, the party time, for dinner time or dancing time, the daily times at Big Ben chimes are radio times. Olden days had different ways, their pleasures then were fewer. Modern days will get my praise, our wireless ways are newer. A stirring time, a whirring time, a record time for father time, the daily times that Big Ben chimes are radio time.
Time there were two fairies. Now there are a great many. Do you believe in fairies and the stories that never grow old? There are fairies at the bottom of the garden. That's a tale we've all been told. Let's think of those childhood days, then go back to our baby ways, and let's all be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
All dance around and go crazy, waving a buttercup and daisy. We'll go whimsy, wonsy.
On tiptoe we'll say dash, dash.
Let's all be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Fairy bells are gaily ringing.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Everybody's gaily singing, dancing round the moonbeams.
Da 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 da.
Hear our fairy footsteps.
Whoop,
here we are.
Two great big burly boxers were engaged to appear in the ring. Said the slosher to the slogger, I won't hurt you if you don't hurt me, old thing. When we're in the ring tonight, there's no reason why we should fight. So let's both be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, crash, crash, crash.
Don't get annoyed if I shove you. You can't imagine how I love you. We'll punch flimsy flamsy. You go out when I say bash. Let's both be fairies.
Tinkle, tinkle, clash, clash, clash.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Fairy bells are gaily ringing.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Everybody's gaily singing, dancing round the moonbeams.
Da 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 da.
Hear our fairy footsteps.
Whoops, here we are.
Whoops, here we are.
You have just heard Let's All Be Fairies.
Yes, indeed, you just heard Let's All Be Fairies, described as a comedy foxtrot on the label of that March 1933 Durium record. The Roy Fox Band, credited as the Durium Dance Band. Let's All Be Fairies was written by L.G. Moore, who also brought us We All Go Ooh-Ha-Ha Together and Ever So Quiet, which is in the soundtrack of the 1945 Columbia feature Rockin' in the Rockies, featuring Moe and Curly Howard and Larry Fine, but not as the Three Stooges. I can understand Auntie Beebe's sensitivity to Let's All Be Fairies in 1933, but before that was Dan Donovan with Henry Hall and his BBC Dance Orchestra on October 20th, 1934, with the seemingly innocuous Radio Times. Radio Times was a magazine published by the BBC starting in 1923, and it's still published today. The song Radio Times was performed by Hall's orchestra during broadcasts, but it was removed from airplay after the Newspaper Proprietors Association lodged complaints. So you see, records aren't banned only because they contain bad words such as or we started off with Norman Long, and we can't let you broadcast that from 1932. The BBC didn't have a lot of tolerance for satire, but even less for mention of brand names or companies. So that record would have been banished from the air for the mention of Boots the Chemist, which is a British pharmacy chain. In the last segment, we heard some British songs and artists which are deemed unsuitable for airplay on the BBC. But for this segment, we've got some American artists whose recordings would also run afoul of John Reith, who was the Director General of the BBC throughout the 1930s.
Full of corn and starts spraying. daddy's got rhythm. Yeah! When he stomps his feet, he sends me right off to sleep. Check all your razors and your guns. Do the shim, sham, shimmy, tell the rising sun. Give me a reaper and a gang of gin. Slay me cause I'm in my sin. Slay me cause I'm full of gin.
Hello? Medical arts? Medical arts? Is this the medical arts? Will you connect me with the operating room, please? Mm-hmm. The Salon de Surgerie. No, darling, that's not French. That's just an old, understood tongue that's come fluttering and hustling down through the ages, like the rats from a Victorian coiffure. Oh, operating room? I wonder if you would inconvenience yourself and peek about under those sheets and see if you can find an old, dismantled T-model body. Mm-hmm. I believe she's having an appendectomy put on her first edition. Oh, how grand you found her. She's what? She's under ether. She's lying under ether? Well, ask him to get up for a moment and let her come to the phone. That girl was ever the one to think only of her own pleasure, and me with six nut-brown, fruit-filled loaves scorching in my Dutch or fireless cooking oven. Hello, operating room? Well, don't be antiseptic about it. All I know about sterilization is what I need for the bare essentials of New York living in this germ-filled metropolis. All I know is what my doctor told me. My doctor. That masterful, medical, miracle man. My doctor. He's got the biggest practice in town. My doctor. He'll pick you up the minute you're down. Rich and poor, black and white, ring his bell all the day and night. Some folks faint at just the sight of my doctor. My doctor, his operation's really a joy. My doctor, with all his instruments you can toy. He's so big-hearted it's been known to pass. He'll say the treat's on me and give you gas. And then you get a piece of advice from my doctor. Why, he's so sanitary that this place is like a dairy where the milk of human kindness ever flows. His business keeps on growing and he makes a splendid showing with his assets which the whole town knows. Once upon his table, never yet has one been able to say no to any treatment he'll suggest. His smile is so contagious and his fee is so outrageous that the size of it assures you of the best. He'll stick you with a needle just like that or very quick, which the weekly call the very neatest trick. The size of his prescription quite belies human description. He's just as well as well for sick. And he's my doctor. Diplomas hang all over his wall. My doctor, his work is just as broad as it's tall. The Mayo brothers one time sent a spy to see his instrument. The spy said, my, she's looking yet at my doctor. My doctor, his understanding really is huge, tremendous. My doctor, he keeps his nurses merely a stooge. His work is much more first than last rate. The ladies take it at a fast rate. And every man would like to cast aspersions on my doctor.
Oh me, oh my, oh you. I don't know what to do. Hallelujah, the question is peculiar. It's got me on the go. I give a lot of dough. If someone here would tell me, is it yes or is it no? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? If you chew it in the morning, will it be too hard to bite? Can't you see I'm going crazy? Won't somebody put me right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? The nation rose as one and sent its favorite son to the White House. This mighty country's lighthouse. He saw the president. He said that I've been sent to solve the burning question that involves the continent. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Would you use it on your collar when your button's not in sight? Put your hand beneath your seat and you will find it there all right. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Does
the pyramid lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
If your teacher tells you not to chew it, swallow it but bite.
Could you grab it with your tonsils and then swing it left and right?
Does the pyramid lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
Here comes the blushing bride, the boob right at her side.
To the altar, as steady as Gibraltar.
The bridegroom has the ring, it's such a pretty thing.
She puts it on her finger and the choir begins to sing. Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
Always paste it on your napkin if you want to be polite.
Could you get a job as typist if you couldn't chew it right?
Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
Well, it make a fellow shut up when he's dying to recite.
Would you give it to your parrot if he isn't cursing right?
Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?
The Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and Ernest Hare in 1924 with the musical question, Does the Spearmint Lose Its Flavor on the Bedpost Overnight? The song was written by Billy Rose, Ernest Brewer, and Marty Bloom, and this was its premiere recording. You may have also heard it as Does Your Chewing Gum Lose Its Flavor? But do you know why? When Lonnie Donegan went to cover the song in 1959 in England, the BBC wouldn't play songs which mentioned trademarks, and so Donegan rewrote the song to say chewing gum instead of spearmint, a trademark of the William Wrigley Jr. Company. It became his biggest hit in the U.S., reaching number 5 on the Billboard charts in 1961. Before the Happiness Boys, we heard Stoughton J. Bruz Fletcher and one of his original songs, My Doctor, from 1935 and issued on the Liberty Music Shops label. I first heard that record on the Dr. Demento show in the early 70s and have always liked the clever lyrics and his unique style of delivery. And that's Bruz Fletcher accompanying himself on piano as well. Around the time of this recording, he was booked for a 2-week engagement at the Club Bally on Sunset Boulevard here in Los Angeles, but it wound up lasting more than 4 years. Unfortunately, Bruz Fletcher had a short and tragic life and committed suicide on February 8, 1941, at age 35. And speaking of tragic lives, Bruz Fletcher was preceded by Bessie Smith with Gimme a Pigfoot and a Bottle of Beer, recorded in New York on November 24, 1933, at her last recording session before her untimely death in 1937. Gimme a Pigfoot was composed by Wesley Wilson, and not much question about that one, but who would think that Abe Lyman would make a record that could not be played on the radio? Well, supposedly Princess Poo Pooley Has Plenty Papaya was banned from American radio at the time. That was Abe Lyman and his Californians with the vocal by Rose Blaine on December 28, 1939. The song has always been credited to Harry Owens, but was actually written by Doug Reynolds, who sued music publisher Owens, won, and wound up selling him the rights. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Tomorrow is, of course, Halloween. And so to help you get in the mood, or even more in the mood, in the next 2 segments, we're going to hear some spooky, scary, rapidly rotating records about ghosts, goblins, zombies, skeletons, haunted houses, well, all things Halloween. Here's Gene Cardos to kick off the fun. Thank you.
afraid of tomorrow, a slave to my sorrow. Can that dreamy stream deliver me from all of my woe? But something inside me keeps answering no. And so, when Mr. Trouble gets in my way, I'll look him square in the eyes and say, shoo, shoo, boogie boo, I'm sick and tired of you. Go pick on somebody new a while, I wanna smile. Shoo, shoo, boogie boo, give me my place in the sun. Show me how fast you can run a mile. I've been so long, oh so long, in the shadows. But now I bid you so long, boy and how. Shoo, shoo, boogie boo, your time has come to vamoose. So you can go to the deuce right now.
Oh, that gal I love, and went and left the town. That's a tune that I never can lose. For it's everywhere, the ghost of the St. Louis Blues.
Emmett Miller, accompanied by his Georgia Crackers and the Ghost of the St. Louis Blues from September 5th, 1929. A response to the ubiquity of W.C. Handy's 1914 St. Louis Blues, the Ghost of the St. Louis Blues was written by Billy Curtis and J. Russell Robinson. That was preceded by Ethel Waters with Shoo Shoo Boogie Boo, recorded June 7th, 1929. Miss Waters also sings Shoo Shoo Boogie Boo in the 1929 Paramount picture Why Bring That Up, starring George Moran and Charles Mack, better known as the Two Black Crows. It was written by Sam Coslow, Leo Robin, and Richard A. Whiting. We started off the first of our two Halloween segments with Gene Cardos and his orchestra, June 26, 1934, and Zombie. Continuing our Halloween theme for this final segment of the show, here's Wayne King and his orchestra.
I say, Sebastian, are you in bed? Come out here.
I can't. I'm in my nightwear.
Oh, well, never mind then. I don't want to tell you that your bedroom's supposed to be haunted. I don't suppose that'll worry you. Breakfast at 9, if you're alive to eat any. Good night.
Oh, I say, look here. I can't stay in here. I mean, my mother told me to keep away from the spirits. I say, hello, my good fellow. Hello. Oh, I...
Look behind you. Look behind you.
No, 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 no.
And the windows creak and the ceilings leak, cause the roof's antique. And you hear a shriek and your legs feel weak. It's the haunted house. There's a dismal moan like a weird trombone, and the old ham bone is suddenly thrown. You are all alone with a great unknown in the haunted house. There's only one good spirit, it's the spirit in the bottle. With shaking hands you pull the cork and pour some down your throttle. There's a clank of chains and the smell of drains and a gory stain where the duke was slain. If you've got chilblains and varicose pains in the haunted house. From the old oak beam hangs a corpse you seem to feel a wet stream with a sinister gleam, and you wake with a scream from a horrible dream of the haunted house. When a cavalier with a dreadful leer tries to disappear through the chiffonier, and you cling with fear to the chandelier, it's the haunted house. The air is full of clammy claws that clutch you by the collar, so gargle night and morning just in case you have to holler. There are lights and sprites and awful frights in flesh pink tights, but at dead of night comes a woman in white, so you're quite all right in the haunted house. When the old church clock strikes 12, there's a knock with a sudden shock. You remember the lock on the door, there's a crock. Oh, why do you mock at the haunted house? It's as black as pitch, and your eyeballs twitch in the darkest niche. It's a dirty witch, and the lighting switch is out of reach in the haunted house. When the slavey spills the gravy, why is she so pallid? Something poked her in the pantry when she fetched the salad.
I'm filled with dread, yes, I'm nearly dead. I saw a head underneath my bed. Come out if you can, I could do with a man
in the haunted house.
From my door, Ghost. There's an old deserted mansion on an old forgotten road where the better ghosts and goblins always hang out. And one night they threw a party in a manner a la mode, and they cordially invited all the gang out. Come on there, gang. At a dark, bewitching hour when fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having their midnight fling. Merrymaking was in full swing. They shrieked themselves into a cheerful trance when a skeleton in the cupboard started to dance. A goblin giggled with fiendish glee. A shot rang out from a big banshee. Amazement was in every ghostly glance when the skeleton in the cupboard started to dance. All the witches were his stitches while his steps made rhythmic thumps, and they nearly dropped their broomsticks when trying to make bumps. You never heard such unnoisy laughter or such hilarious groans when a skeleton in the cupboard rattled his bones. Ah! quiet.
We started off this final segment of Rapidly Rotating Records with Wayne King and his orchestra recording in Chicago on November 5, 1930, and Swamp Ghosts. The vocalist was also the composer and lyricist, Burke Bivens, who apparently had a thing about swamps because he also wrote Swamp Blues, which was recorded by Art Landry. Next, it was Ray Noble directing the new Mayfair Dance Orchestra and The Haunted House, recorded in London on October 23, 1931. The speakers at the beginning were Ray Noble and Max Kester, who also wrote The Haunted House. The vocal refrain was by the Three Jinx. Here in the U.S., if you have an embarrassing or unpleasant secret about something, you're said to have a skeleton in the closet. But apparently in the U.K., the phrase is to have a skeleton in the cupboard. We heard Skeleton in the Cupboard by Teddy Foster and his Kings of Swing, with the vocal by Teddy Foster himself. That HMV recording is from November 20th, 1936, and Skeleton in the Cupboard was written by Arthur Johnston and Johnny Burke for the Bing Crosby picture Pennies from Heaven, where it was performed by Louis Armstrong. We finished up with Joe Candulo and his Everglades Orchestra and The Chant from a December 28, 1926 Edison disc. So what does The Chant, written by Mel Stitzel, have to do with Halloween? Well, it was subtitled A Spooky Serenade. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. And as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.